Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind, healthy and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me, as always...
Ben Vanel here. Now, we have had to pre-record this one. We did this one back in January. I hope nothing has happened in the real world.
It's weird that you're referring to current day as back in January, but yes.
Yeah, and I'm Adam Knox. I'm here too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Knowledgeable boys. Everyone's pretty knowledgeable at the moment, hey. Yeah.
I met a doctor once, so here's some information I'm willing to share.
I know how to spell doctor, so here's the rest of these words spelled incorrectly about how it's fun to go to bars.
Yeah.
So we are back all in the same room after our... Weird that we were in self-imposed quarantine a week ago.
Yes.
When it was optional, and now that it's becoming closer to mandatory, we're like, nah, let's just all have a big old jawbone in the Adam Knox Towers.
Well, I don't care. I don't know. I'm the safest one to get sick if you guys bring it here, because I don't have to fucking see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If I get either of you guys sick, it will be it'll be incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because who the fuck have I gotten it from?
Yeah. Maybe the mailman.
Bringing me all my noodles.
Yes.
We did just witness a pretty heartwarming interaction with you and your mailman.
Yeah, he spat on me. Then I coughed on him, and it was pretty fun. Yeah. No, I don't know. He recognized me and gave me a package, which is good. Mm. But what were we saying?
We're
in real life at the moment.
Yes.
We're in real life. Last week, everything's moving so quickly at the moment. We were just reflecting on last week, our talk about E3 being cancelled.
Mm.
And that feels like a million years ago at this point.
Mm.
Since then, the comedy festival in Melbourne has been cancelled.
Yep.
Barely even worth pointing out because, like, everything on Earth has been cancelled.
Oh, shit, I left my milk out. I'm going to put that back in the fridge.
All right, you get up there and put that milk back and we'll fill the time.
That Adam, milk was about to get cancelled.
Adam was pointing out that he's taken precautionary measures against the potential lockdown by buying a big 3-litre carton of milk, which has an expiry date of about 2 days' time or something.
No, 29th like that. Of March. And also, I generally buy a 3-litre milk.
Oh, really?
I like a bit of cereal. I like it in my coffee. I'll chuck it in my mouth just from a glass, which my girlfriend thinks is disgusting.
It is. That's awful.
Cannot understand it. You have a little fucking sip of milk. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with... I think we've talked about this.
I think we have,
I swear we've talked about this. Just it's bizarre. You never hear of an adult just having a glass of milk.
That's
solo.
Because they get shamed like this. But I reckon probably 30 to 40% of adults would enjoy just
in
a little
secret.
Glass of milk from time to time.
Right,
interesting.
Okay. It's not percentage.
It's not just for children.
Maybe with the collapse of society, this is the point where people are going to feel comfortable just being out like, you know what, who gives a fuck?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't care who knows it. I like drinking straight milk by itself.
It's not straight. It's not. You don't have to. It's not cordial or like liquor. It's.
I need it watered down. I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, I like it on ice. Yeah. Milk on the rocks. Oh. Rev on the rocks.
But yeah, this week we're all healthy, so we're doing our work in the office, but which is my house.
Yeah, Knox Towers.
We're all isolating and shit otherwise. I think we're probably good to do this, but if we don't, I don't know. We're not seeing our elderly parents and shit like that. That's the important part.
Yeah. Mm. My work is on lockdown, or at least the level that I, in my office, I'm not allowed to go in. My ID cards, like, they've shut them down.
Really?
You actually can't get in, yeah.
They shut the ID cards down because they just think everyone in there loves work so much. Get me in!
How are we going to stop them from entering the building when they are being asked to work from home at this comfortable office job? I work
My house sucks, get me in there!
I work a casual job, and that's up in the air, so shout outs to people who... are pretty fucking on the edge about what's going to happen soon. Not a lot of disposable income coming in lately, maybe soon.
Yeah.
But and that's the case for a lot of people. So, hey, if you're doing well, good for you. If you're not, we'll keep putting this out for free.
Yes.
A free podcast. Absolutely. What an idea.
It's just a funny situation where we're all kind of, like, everyone's in the same boat. Mm. Essentially, everyone's in the same boat. Mm. So, like, my girlfriend's work got closed for a month and I was out of town. She texted me to tell me that. And I was kind of distracted, so I didn't give it quite the amount of sympathy that she wanted. Mm. And so she was like, bit more sympathy, please. And I was like, well, yeah, like, awful, but what do you want me... Like, what everyone's... happened to me 24 hours ago. You didn't say shit. Like,
yeah. What was the amount of not sympathy that you gave it, though? What was the specific message that you said?
Did you send back lol?
Yeah.
No, I said, oh, wow, that's really fucked. And then... It's a long story, but I had to message her. I had to ask her about something else as well. So I said, well, that's really fucked.
Yeah, right.
And then I said, hey, do you want to come? I'm going to my cousin's house to meet her kid. Do you want to come with me on Tuesday?
Okay.
And just because I just sort of like changed the subject.
Sure.
Yeah.
Damn, that sucks. Was the Green Power Ranger one of the main ones? Or because you never really saw him with the others there. I don't get his deal.
Was
he the
Dragon Zord just one Power Ranger? How does that work? It was as big as the Megazord.
Damn, lol. Did you know the Demolition Man had Taco Bell in some regions and then Pizza Hut in other regions? That's crazy to me.
Listen to the Patreon to understand that reference.
Yeah, so thanks to everyone who's checked in. With us online and in our Facebook group, everyone's kind of being really... We've got a thread going about stuff you can watch in isolation, some recommendations and stuff like that. And we are going to try and in the near future, pump out a little bonus for you to keep things moving along and to keep you guys occupied. So, yeah, we're going to try and churn out
maybe do some extra
stuff while we can.
Yeah. Extra stuff on the Patreon too and, like, all over the place if we
definitely, I think we've all agreed, we have a Bandcamp idea that we're going to do in the next few days that is quite... That'll, on topic.
I reckon that'll be up on the weekend.
Yeah.
It'll date terribly.
Yeah,
sure.
But in this current moment, I reckon it'll sell really well.
Yeah.
And then the curve will just absolutely drop quicker than any of the other ones we've ever done.
Bill Cosby's book on fatherhood. We'll be putting out our version of that. And we'll do some more stuff on the Patreon. If you are able to, now's a great time to jump on the Patreon if you want. If you can't and you have to tighten your belt, we get it.
If you're one of the lucky people who, like me for now, is working from home but still has work and, you need something to distract you from being stuck in a room by yourself, we're going to try and help you out.
Yep, for sure. Mm. We should also point out that... As of the time that this goes up, there will have been some form of announcement about the PlayStation 5.
Yes.
And we are recording this before that has happened.
This is early January.
We actually moved this up a day just so that once we found out that the PlayStation 5 was going to be announced, we thought, no, fuck it.
Yeah.
Let's get in. I'd sooner die than be able to talk about it in a timely fashion. So let's move this forward.
Yeah. That happens at 4 a.m. tomorrow or 3 a.m. tomorrow Australian time, which isn't current.
Yeah. When we thought, look, this mildly interesting information about the tech specs is something that we need to wait a week, really digest it and come up with some interesting mild takes.
We are absolutely not the people for the tech spec reveals because I watched a full like 30-minute long video about the Xbox One Series X tech specs and I genuinely didn't understand a word of it. I knew the words, but when they were put together like that, I fucking gobbledygook. I couldn't figure it out.
I don't think anyone expects that of us. Anyone who's interested in tech specs has gone to Digital Foundry at this point.
What's a teraflop? Speed of graphics processing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought it was when someone wearing a suicide vest jumps into a pool.
That's
what I thought a teraflop was.
That's good.
Honestly, Global Turmoil doesn't have to stop the laughs.
Yeah.
The comedy festival is back on.
Yes.
I'm fine about being trapped in a room with you for the next month if the quality is going to remain that consistent.
Yes. I can guarantee you that it won't.
it'll dive off a cliff at some point.
Diving off a cliff. Interesting. If someone wearing a suicide vest were to do that, might you call it a teraflop?
Oh, wow.
The sound a body makes when it hits the ground. Flop.
Well, like a belly flop,
I should start drinking more milk.
It switches on certain parts of your bones.
It's comedy fuel.
I'm thinking with my bones. That's how much calcium is in them.
Yeah, so we that's coming down the pipe, but we don't really know what that's going to entail. Quick question while I think of it. This probably could have happened off air, but while I think of it now.
The Power Rangers.
You would know this, Knox. Which is more powerful, the Xbox that I have or the PS4?
The PS4 that you have.
Really?
By a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have the S, which
is You've got a regular PS4 and an Xbox One S, which is basically the same as an Xbox One, but it could output slightly better video quality, mainly for Blu-rays and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But it plays games as well as the original Xbox One did.
Okay.
But so then the Xbox One X is better than a PS4 Pro.
Okay, right. I see. Yeah. I ask because I want to know, planning to absolutely lock into Doom Eternal on Friday.
Oh, yeah,
and
nice.
So I want to know which one to get it on. PS4?
Switch. No. a ridiculous joke. Comedy Festival is back on.
It's back on, folks.
Yeah, no, PC best, Xbox One X next, PS4 Pro, regular PS4, Xbox One, Switch.
Ooh,
yeah, that's
damn.
The order from top to bottom.
Okay, great.
Depending on what your fucking PC is like. Which, right. Yeah, I will reveal now, like a magician, that I ordered a new PC. I put one together and ordered it from this place that did a good deal.
To go with the new gaming chair.
And Doom and Half-Life specifically. Yeah. But that's been delayed because of all this stuff, which is fine. Obviously, they've got to deal with their shit, so whatever. But... still disappointing.
Yes.
I'm going to be sitting there when Doom comes out watching that thing move so fucking slow on my old one. Mm-hmm. But who cares?
It is, you can understand, but it's like now is definitely the time when that would have been great to have.
We've got to completely revamp our entire way that we treat our global supply lines so that this never happens to specifically me again.
I thought you were going to say we should really develop some perspective about, you know, the small minor things that crop up in our life, like me getting a PC delayed, is nothing compared to whatever's happening to that part.
Nope, and the secret tunnel from Amazon to Adam's house.
Yeah, perfect. That's a perfect idea.
We should storm Jeff Bezos's house, right?
Oh, we need to eat that cunt.
Yeah, absolutely.
People have been saying it for ages, but fucking eat him.
Yeah.
It like, let's do Doom, but real.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, don't do that. That's happened before, and it's awful. Never mind. Ignore that. Never bring that up if anything happens, ever.
We should just have a revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So thanks for answering that question. Follow up. Which console am I best to play Animal Crossing New Horizons on?
Yeah, that's the other one. It's perfect games to be coming out around this time.
The concept of that, you're stranded on an isolated desert island. It could not, the timing that could not be more unreal.
We are living in some fucking cyberpunk shit.
Yeah.
And if cyberpunk was still coming out, how good would that be at this point?
Like, you know, when was that meant later. To be? In a couple of weeks?
4 weeks?
Yeah, early April, I think.
Maybe a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. We're living in the world that we're living in. It's fine. And there was some stuff about... So with the PS5 reveal, that most people seem to be saying, and I don't know if this is based on fact or just rumor, that it'll be pretty equivalent to the Xbox Series X... that has been detailed and announced.
Yes.
Which
I read a bunch of the Xbox Series X, like they have like a frequently asked, like layman's terms glossary of all the tech stuff they revealed.
What do they say about teraflop?
Actually said, and you'll never believe this.
I've got a feeling that you might get some good news about the Comedy Festival soon, Tommy. Hold on. I think it might be back on.
But the main thing that stood out to me that I understood was this like no delay switching thing of like between any game once it's installed.
Yeah.
And that's why their expansion storage is a proprietary thing, because it has to be like incredibly fast. And that sounds cool. That's switching between games with no lag, no delay, no boot up time, essentially, which is fucking cool. Like, that's what you want from the next generation.
The loading, they put out a couple of videos of, like, they had State of Decay 2, the Xbox One X version, so they were showing their backwards compatibility and the increased loading times in the one, and it was much, much quicker. And then, the thing of having multiple games open and you can resume any of them, which is, you can do it with one on all the current consoles now.
Yeah.
But being able to go between them would be a nice little extra bit.
Yeah.
All the stuff in that box as well is removable and replaceable and easily repairable. So it is pushing towards that idea of a just like a a pre-built PC.
Yeah, like a Fisher and Paykel PC, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get those extra little memory cards if you want. Maybe there'll be a new fucking video card in the future.
Yeah.
Because people are getting used to that concept, and I think they really could make a mass market version of that, and it could be really cool.
Mm. Mm.
You mix that with, like, if your money's going into a Game Pass subscription and upgrading this thing, and that's really what you're doing.
Yeah. Mm.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said this maybe to you guys off air, but I still feel like the only thing Sony needs to do to just get that next little step above Microsoft is announce their own version of Game Pass. It's just as intuitive and well-designed and well-laid out and affordable. Because then it's like, well, fuck, Sony exclusives are the exclusives I like to play.
Yeah. Yep.
If they have Game Pass, then I'm happily buying a PS5 day one.
It seems like Microsoft's strength over Sony at the moment that they're really leaning into is their ability to make deals mm-hmm. and to spend money.
Yeah.
And they're doing it well. They bought up those studios and it, I don't know, the Series X thing looks cool. I still think that it's not necessarily applicable to my situation if that PC ever shows up.
Yes. Yes.
But, and that's the other interesting thing, that they're revealing all this stuff and sticking with the thing of like, yeah, these will be out soon. Don't worry about it.
Mm.
We'll see if that changes, given that everything is changing every second hour.
Yeah. Yep. I wonder if, like a few other things in the world, there's enough money tied up in these actually coming out
right.
that they just have to go through with it. Like maybe there will be parts delays and things like that, but because there are companies' entire existence tied to the launch of these consoles, I think probably they just come out.
I saw some speculation that I agreed with, that they probably come out in relatively limited quantities and then there's a shortage for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well, and they're banking on, like, well, there won't be midnight launches, there won't be people queuing up at the shops to get them, but people can just still order them online to be delivered. That totally. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I saw a funny thing that just kind of came up on my news feed.
It'd be great if this was a description of like a Garfield cartoon.
It's actually not far off. There was a post from the Nintendo Facebook page, like, 4 days to go until Animal Crossing comes out. Mm. And then, you know, like just you know how often like a post will just preview one of the comments.
Right.
Right.
And it's from
like
someone that you don't know.
The top one or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like some random person going, please, Nintendo, I'm begging you to delay this game. The Animal Crossing franchise is too important for the day one numbers to suffer because people can't go and buy it because of coronavirus.
Wow. Fuck.
That's exactly the opposite comment to what I thought it would be. I thought it'd be someone going like, Nintendo, release it now, bitch, I'm bored.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. This person, like, the sales are going to take a hit and we can't have that blemish on the untarnished record of Animal Crossing. And it's like, you look at this guy's profile and his picture is Tom Nook. It's like, this guy is too deep in.
Yeah.
Like, Animal Crossing has been hit after hit. Happy Home Designer. Amiibo Festival.
Yeah, that
everyone's
fucking board game.
Favorite
shitty
games.
Mobile version. That's like, I don't get, this is a tangent. I don't understand why people like root for movies to make a certain box office number.
Go see it six times for the six with Justice League and all that shit.
Fucking, I don't understand at all.
People get sucked into to marketing and being
part of something, I guess.
A peasant in a corporation's kingdom.
Mm, yeah.
Like, people want that subservience, which is why, whatever. Anyway, it's not what this podcast is
selfishly
about.
That's for the bonus.
Yeah.
That's for the Patreon.
Selfishly, if you like something, ironically, you want it to do well, so more of that same thing gets made, I guess.
Sure.
Sure.
But like, you just going like, hey, four friends, go see it. It's like, that's not really going to affect
fucking,
it in the way that needs to.
Not Justice League. You know, Endgame hit the $1 billion mark. Yay, hashtag Marvel. It's like, what? Why do you care about the box office returns for a superhero movie?
But you know what it is? It's funny. People who aren't into sports but still want that. They don't like watching sports, but the one bit that they're jealous of is the like mass, like the camaraderie of barracking for something. So it's just like, I guess it's just trying to.
It's human nature to get whipped up into that frenzy as well. I've worked in enough sales based jobs where people ring a fucking bell or whatever when somebody sells something that they're not making any money from, and people get genuine excitement from selling something that they are being underpaid to to push,
and just seeing that number on the board.
Yeah, getting a pat on the back from an equally underpaid, but slightly less so, but so not equally, but like a similarly underpaid manager, that, you know, I got a fucking scam phone call before.
Ooh.
Actually, from like a dodgy call center.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of places I used to work.
Yeah.
The guy, he called up.
Adam, can you come in tomorrow? Who is this?
A lot of people are calling at 6. We need you to come up. I don't know if they're telling the truth or not over the phone, because I do know that people lie over the phone. Anyway, unrelated to my job.
I'd like to see a version of the movie Looper, but it's call center workers, and that was you calling yourself.
Oh,
and that
wow.
closes the loop.
Damn.
We got to start making movies in Adam's apartment.
I steal my own credit card number.
Yes.
How? It's perfect identity theft. It is my identity.
I had to cancel my credit card yesterday because I thought I'd lost my wallet, and then honestly within 2 minutes of doing it, found the wallet with the credit card inside. I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, now I can't buy anything.
Yes.
That's so stupid.
I'm aware.
Your house is not big enough that it justifies a search that requires calling a bank.
No, I thought I'd left it at the venue in Brisbane. And then I did what many would consider to be probably the first step, was look in the bag that I had with me, and it was just in there. But in my head, I had the memory of putting it on a couch in the green room. No memory in there of picking it up and putting it back in.
A separate memory from another time.
It's just like a baby. You have no object permanence. You can't see something anymore. It's like, well, I guess it's gone forever.
Like a parent remembering taking their kid to school one day in year 4 and then going like, oh my God, I must have left them there. They're 22 now, but they're still there.
There's too much going on at the moment, all right? I'm at capacity. My brain's working overtime, having to go, this is not essential. I guess this can go out. He'll work out where the wallet is.
Yeah. Non-essential gatherings of 100 memories or more in your brain have been banned.
Yeah, exactly. Remember to show sympathy to your girlfriend. That's got to permanently be in there.
Yeah.
The wallet thing, you work it out.
Like memento style, tattoo that one on your arm.
They're all just going to get jumbled up though, and you'll be like, I guess I have to listen to Sympathy for the Devil. I just wrote sympathy there. I'm not sure what.
Don't trust Adam K? Who could that be?
How do you spell Adam Levine? Is that with a K? This guy called up and he was like, hey there, you luckily have won a $50,000 raffle from us, Vodafone, which is not my phone company.
Right.
Not my phone company, not my president. Mm-hmm. And he said it was for me and my family. And I asked him how closely he was sitting to the other people in his office currently. And then he hung up immediately.
Great.
I wish I'd have strung him along for longer. I was trying to toss up whether to like pretend to be an old lady.
I got a chain email from my parents about COVID-19. So good to see that it's hit baby boomer chain mail status.
COVID-19.
Dad was like, you probably haven't seen this yet. There might be some helpful stuff in here. And it's just like all these like medical tips and like every line a different font and a different size. God. I was like, thanks, Dad. But I'm not going to take medical advice from something that ends with the phrase, please share and spread, all in caps in like pink Comic Sans font.
Guys, it's serious now. The minions have told us not to go outside. For some, Daffy Duck flipping you off has said not to leave.
Forward this on to 15 people and your crush won't get the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Coronavirus is particularly effective at targeting the elderly. It's very similar to chain letters.
Yeah.
Both of them are just wiping them out.
Heartwarming to see
the smug looking, like artifact ridden JPEG of Minnie Mouse is the main spreader of COVID. Yeah.
Heartwarming to see that they're still going. The chain mail economy still exists.
It'll ramp up.
Seen one in ages. Yeah. So there was overnight a Nintendo indie world Direct.
Just to quickly wrap up the Xbox and PS5 thing as well, if anyone does fully understand what all those specs mean in real terms, I guess nobody does. Yeah, it just means potentially they could be better. The loading time seems cool, but maybe comment somewhere on our thing if you know more about it.
Send us an email and pretend, if you can, that you're explaining it to the three dumbest men to ever walk the earth. Sure. Maybe we'll read it out if we get a good layman's
guide. Send it in a chainmail format.
Yeah, exactly. If you can treat us like we're a bunch of boomers still going out for coffees.
The more different fonts you use, different colours, I want a pink Comic Sans in there, that'd be great.
Absolutely. I want it to be completely illegible, but even though the language makes no sense, you can't read it anyway because of the yellow font.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But maybe if someone gives us a good thing spelling it all out, we can read that out.
I guess we won't know now that I'm thinking about it until actual games are there and visible and whatever.
Mm-hmm. But I guess
it all sounds cool, and it does sound next gen kind of stuff.
By the time this is out, the PS5 info will be out,
yes,
right? So at least maybe if you can try and describe the differences between the Xbox Series X and the PS5.
Or we'll just talk about that next week or something. You know. But let's start a conversation. I think it's time for the community to come together and us to start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
sorry, Tommy, what were you saying?
So there was a Nintendo Indie World Direct.
Yes.
Earlier this morning, a few new games announced on that.
Are they no longer Nindies, or are these a separate thing to whatever Nindies were?
That's what I was wondering, if they've just rebranded it. Yeah.
Or were Nindies specifically Nintendo supported ones? And these are just indie games that are coming out on the Switch.
I think the Nindies ones was still just a bit of everything.
Mm.
I don't know. I think they've just rebranded it.
Yeah, this yarn about it on Polygon refers to it as an indie, but it then also says Nintendo Indie World live stream. So maybe it's just the same thing.
Yeah. Did you guys watch this?
No.
I watched it today.
I skimmed through it.
Yeah, I did a bit of the same. Well, so do we want to go through them?
Yeah, let's do it.
One by one?
I have opinions on all of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The ultimate YouTube commenter.
This is the first time I've had enough free time to actually pay attention to something Nintendo has released.
Okay, Blue Fire, 3D platformer. You're a little kind of ninja-y sort of dude. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's kind of parkour-y kind of like
wall
dashing
running
in the air, double jumping in the air kind of stuff, but with a bit of hack and slash kind of gameplay.
Doesn't look particularly groundbreaking. I think if you like the visual style of it, it's cool, but like I've played a lot of platformers like this before.
Seemed a little dull to me.
Yeah.
It had that sort of like flimsy Unity engine type of look to it as well. It looked like it wasn't quite all together.
There's that bit. Most of, I think, like the wall running and weird special moves is in like this weird zone.
Yeah, maybe it was like that white kind of matrixy looking.
That just looks like a game that's not finished yet to me.
It did to me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't particularly into it. Mm. Baldo speaking, telling you about the next game that was announced from the studio in Italy. JRPG inspired game, very Studio Ghibli kind of graphics.
Very funny name.
Baldo.
Yeah. Baldo is as like, this is a beautiful RPG, Fatso, set in a, like, it's why is your game called that?
I don't mind it.
Sure.
I think it looks good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little thin on top.
I think all of these, just across the board, this is my one opinion about all of them, didn't look that interesting. They all looked pretty derivative. They all looked like they were an imitation of another thing that had already come out.
Well, this looks like Ni No Kuni, which I like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, it's a 33% as good as that.
Sure.
Hopefully.
Who knows?
This was probably the thing that I thought looked the best. But there was nothing in this that really jumped out at me.
No.
Even that last one had like, was that the one that had sports story in it? Like there was enough in the last one of these that was like, oh, well, I'm actually pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in this that I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And also this didn't, for saying it's a JRPG, no sign of any combat.
I think you're right.
Or anything.
Yeah, they're just walking around a village talking to people.
Yeah.
No, there was dodging. There's a lot of dodging actually. Okay. Some dungeon dodging.
Mm.
Yeah.
Draft dodging.
I am
That's
dead.
What I'm going to be doing. It all kicks off. You really?
Yep.
This looked, I actually hated the visual style of this, but what it is looked kind of interesting.
Which one was this?
This is like little first seaside person town.
Oh, yeah.
Puzzle. Scanning through puzzles and being able to see through walls and stuff. I thought this looked cool.
I didn't mind the visual style of this.
I like the visual style. Yeah.
I think, honestly, it being like the third one in, I was like, oh, this looks boring and derivative.
Yeah.
And in comparison to the rest, maybe it, should look a little better to me now.
It reminded me a little bit. It seemed like it was a similar sort of thing to Obra Dinn, kind of. Like, just kind of moving around, kind of piecing together clues and stuff like that.
A little more lighthearted, maybe.
Yeah, more cartoony take on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it. I think it looks like it could be cool.
Yeah, it looks like my sort of thing, like a witnessy kind of puzzly type thing.
Yeah.
Bark. Side-scrolling, multiplayer, shooter thing.
Looked good, like a great fun game if you're a kid.
Yeah.
I reckon it had a very purposefully childlike look to it.
Yeah, it didn't really interest me too much. Cyanide and Happiness, Freakpocalypse.
Yes! This is the one for me, guys. Oh, such lols.
If this had come out when I was... One
year old?
15.
What you were saying?
Whenever
13, maybe.
When was it that was sort of around? But yeah, that age, then I might have been into this. And if that South Park game hadn't already come out, but this looked like the South Park game in the way that the little bits of gameplay showed themselves. And yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of not into that thing anymore, really, that much.
I don't think I actually was ever into Cyanide and Happiness.
When early on, I liked some of it. But it was okay, but it was never, I was never like super, super down with it. Yeah. Honestly, didn't kind of realize that they were still going hard enough that a game coming out was on the cards.
Warranted, no real interest for me. Summer in Mara. This looks kind of Animal Crossing-y, I guess.
Yeah, a bit Stardew Valley.
Weird fucking time to be bringing out an Animal Crossing competitor as well. Yeah. It really did to me as well. But you could like swim, right? And
you can swim. It seems like there's maybe a bit more kind of questy stuff to do. Like there's a little bit more kind of like a game in there. But then, it started really focusing on plant crops and there's like a day-night. So just all these things that are very Animal Crossing. Like there's seasons and it seemed a bit whatever. Like I think if you're making a game like that as a indie, you have to really like have it be like a point of difference.
Right. Completely.
Because there are these big, Stardew Valley is huge. Animal Crossing is a huge franchise and those two things do it so well for what they are that, Why just do a thing that's just a different setting?
Well, it was one of those ones where one of the voiceover people was like, it involves crafting. And any time they just say as a feature of their game, like, you can craft. Like, oh, fucking fun.
Extra busy work.
Oh, hell yeah. I can't wait to find 5 onions. That's going to be so much fun.
Even the day-night cycle stuff now, it's like, that was cool 12 years ago?
When Pokemon Gold did it in like the year 2000.
This is going to be amongst the many games on the Switch eShop that I scroll right past.
What was it called even?
Summer in Mara?
Release of Summer in Mara. A franchise that strong needs to launch big.
Quantum League? So this is a multiplayer shooter where
you wake up in the body of a different person every day.
each round, you are joined by little copies of you from the round before. That
copies
move in
of
the
doggies.
What?
Nothing, doesn't matter.
Okay.
A very dumb word.
I said copies of doggies.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
Thanks, man. Comedy festival's back on.
I don't know.
Sounds not my thing, but interesting concept. I'm sure if you're into kind of like multiplayer shooters, like that kind of hook in execution I don't know.
If you're into multiplayer shooters, you're pretty much already allied to a game.
True.
You're playing Overwatch, you're playing Call of Duty, you're not playing this.
A Switch game is probably not it's not what you're looking for as well.
Yeah.
The Good Life. This is an RPG about a town where people turn into dogs and cats at night.
Oh yeah,
So this was introduced by a Japanese guy from the studio who's subtitled, and his studio is based in Osaka. And he talked about it a little bit, and I was like, "This sounds cool." And then I thought the art style just looked shitty and not what I would have expected from a Japanese studio.
Yeah,
it looked like this with a different coat of paint on it. I think I'd be really into.
Yeah.
I just thought it looked visually quite unappealing
to
my personal taste.
It has some elements of like that sort of Times New Roman, like JRPG fonty thing that some games use. But yeah, like the animation, like the character design.
Character design stuff's very like...
pretty bland.
Yeah, very Western.
Yeah.
It looks a little... It just looks like... you know those games where it's like... It's Sudoku, but it's Pete's Sudoku. Mm-hmm. And there's just a drawing of some dude who they've named Pete.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It looks like that.
Except you turn into cats and dogs at night.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Oh, this is the sheep riding one.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's got something going on.
It does look a little... But maybe it's kind of almost pushing towards... With the polygonal stuff being like... not quite. Like a Nobi Nobi Boy sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like being deliberately... exaggerated.
Right.
But then the actual art treatment is kind of bland.
Could be interesting though. Weird enough concept that keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
I guess.
The Last Campfire. New game from Hello Games.
Yeah, did fucking Sean Murray look like he just was terrified to you?
Yeah, yeah.
I really
big
felt,
time. Couldn't even make eye contact with the camera.
Yes. Yeah.
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 I feel for him. Fucking hell.
Mm.
I think the last thing he said was, "We really hope you like it."
Yeah.
And he said it like he had a fucking gun to his head.
Well, yeah. And he's the game had enough of those threatened at him over the years. That
yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's a small little kind of platformer, and you control a character with an interest in compassion, empathy, and finding hope.
Mm. This
influenced
is the one
by his real life thoughts in any way, or
yeah, okay, yeah. I'm recognizing this one now, and I thought it looked fucking lame.
It looked pretty generic and
it
boring to me.
Totally, like someone had played Journey and fucking whatever that phone one was, where you got the little hat, Monument Valley.
Monument Valley, yeah.
The music that was playing for this one was so fucking such a turn off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indie whatever.
Yeah. I had no interest in this whatsoever.
No, Sean Murray stole my game.
Pixel Junk Eden 2.
This looked like something. I mean, I'm assuming it's a sequel.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard of the original.
Those Pixel Junk games were like early PS3 downloadable games.
Was there like an Endless Runner one as well?
There was Monsters, which was like a tower defense. Mm-hmm. Eden was like a platformer, I'm pretty sure, where you're jumping up plants.
Mm-hmm.
There was a shooting one. I can't remember if there was a runner one, but it was those sort of things. When it was like the downloadable games, was like it's a very small one and it's mandated to be 50 megabytes or whatever back in the sort of mid-2000s.
Yeah, right. This looks okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't get too much of a gauge on it, but
The visuals are interesting. Mm. Like the fact that it's like it's a procedurally generated platformer that responds to how you move through each level. That's an interesting idea.
Cool.
It was one of the more creative ones in the entire showcase, I thought.
I feel like I played the original years ago and was incredibly bored by it.
Right. I guess if you're procedurally generating platforming levels, it makes it hard to put in like specific like hard bits
and have
and
any
challenges
learning curve and have any sort of
an actual goal.
Right. My memory of that game is it being very like, look at the trippy visuals, man. It's like I can turn on a fucking iTunes visualizer. Fuck off.
Eldest Souls. I had stopped watching at this point, so these last two games I didn't see.
This was
boss rush hack and slash.
Yeah, sort of like a I think it might have been an isometric pixel art sort of Hyperlight Drifter style, like very hard combat sort of boss.
It was
based one
Diablo type of thing, right? And they were this is gonna take you a long time to have to do this.
It's basically Dark Souls but in like 16-bit, I think.
Man, who cares?
Yeah,
not interesting
again. Like, just come on.
And
if you write down a description of your game and 15 others have been made in the last 2 years, maybe
you
think
might
about
be a redneck.
The comedy festival's back
it's
on.
Back on. Speaking of who cares, Exit the Gungeon. I mean, I'm sure some people care, but I don't think any of us are particularly interested in the sequel to
This is
the
free.
Gungeon.
This is already free on Apple Arcade and has been since like September.
Right.
Yeah. So this is just a new version of it,
and it's up today as of the after the direct.
But maybe get Apple Arcade if you want to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
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 If you can, if you have an Apple thing.
So that's it. That's the Nindies direct. Yeah, nothing really too interesting in there.
Would love to have seen a direct having a bit of like maybe Breath of the Wild 2 or Where's Metroid at or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Soon. Because after Animal Crossing is out on Friday, they have no big releases penciled in at all.
Well, there was a...
That I can remember. Like Bayonetta 3, I guess, at some point.
Right.
They've got them penciled in, but nothing
dated.
Date.
Yeah,
there was... I saw a thing going around last week on Twitter saying that there'll be... And this is obviously before it had been announced. There'll be an Indies direct... next week, which is now this week, and then there'll be a main direct after the week after that.
Okay.
So far, the Indies part has come true. So who knows? Maybe we'll get a proper full direct.
That'd be good.
Next week. It's kind of necessary at this point.
Right, exactly.
They're not just doing us a favor. It's in their best interest.
It's very weird to not have another thing on the horizon that you'll be leapfrogging into. To only have this one just sitting there on its own.
They sort of do this every year, but this is the most extreme they've ever been.
I can't remember a time when they've had that, because it's always been, hey, Zelda's coming out and then there's Mario Odyssey, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Hey, Mario Odyssey's coming out, but then there'll be fucking Smash Brothers or whatever.
In between there was like the Yoshi, the Kirby stuff, which is still like, they're less interesting games, but still massive characters.
And there's something coming out that they can say, we'll talk about this at a later date, but for today we're focusing on this.
Yeah.
But when Animal Crossing is out, it's like, and now we're done with the Switch. See you later, everyone.
Yeah.
Last year, it was kind of the same thing. Like in January, February, Yoshi had a date and that was it. And then they had that direct in maybe late Jan or Feb or something where they announced the Link's Awakening thing, a date for Astral Chain and all. So they were kind of in the same.
Okay.
But they didn't leave it this late.
Yeah.
Like they weren't getting this close to that game being out.
They had a number of games that, and their development style on these games seems to have changed a lot, where they have really been very open about like, we're redoing Metroid. See you later. And they've had a bunch of things probably shift up for them. So I guess maybe we'll get one next week and who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. But maybe it's E3 timing. Maybe it's in, what is that? It was meant to be July.
4 months or something. Yeah. 3 months.
Yeah.
Which is 11 years in current time.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's that done. I've been playing a bit more Ori and the Will of the Wisps since I suddenly find myself with a lot more free time this week than I thought I would. And getting deeper and deeper into that. Really having a good time with it.
Yeah.
Fuck me, it needs a patch pretty badly.
Yes.
Are you playing it on the Xbox One S?
Yep.
Okay, you're both playing it on Game Pass on that?
Yep.
Interesting. I haven't played it still yet, but it's choppy, right? It's framey and whatever.
It's not so much... It'll just kind of freeze kind of at these... If you like clear a bit and it has to like load the... You've cleared this quest or whatever. It freezes for a couple of seconds then. I'm not finding it too choppy moment to moment.
I've started playing it. I started playing it, I think, 3 days ago or so. Fucking love the start. Mm. Oh, my God. Like this real like wordless introduction to these characters in this world. It's beautifully designed.
The first one did sort of the same thing where you just kind of like walk around in this little area and it kind of tells you the story that way. And then
it's little time lapses and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like very, very well told stuff. The like depth of field layering of this 2D platforming environment. The best I've ever seen, I think. Like fucking so, so good.
I think it might be the best looking 2D platformer.
Yeah.
It's just like the lighting and the wind effects and stuff. And
just the design, like the illustration as well, mixed in with all of it perfectly it's a beautiful game.
And something that I don't think I really talked about last week, the music is great and it does this really great thing where it sort of reacts in real time to things that you're doing and kind of like seamlessly moves in and out stuff gets more action packed. It's as if someone has just like watched you play it and then done this. It feels it all feels so fluid.
That's cool. When that shit works, it's really really it brings a game up a number of notches.
It does feel like you're playing a movie. Like it feels like the score is happening
completely
direct based on what you're doing.
It's like you're playing through one of those like slightly more serious animated kids movies from like the 90s.
Right,
has like a genuine story and like a moral to it and all that stuff.
Fight Goes West.
Yeah, exactly. More, I guess like a Watership Down or something like that.
Okay, right.
I'm loving it. I'm getting sort of graphic or like hitches, frame rate issues with like two or more enemies on screen at the same time, which is not very common, surprisingly. It's mostly about like, oh, here's a platforming area. There's one guy. You get them out of the way and then figure out how to jump your way through this.
I wonder, because I haven't gone in on this, but I wonder how much that's mitigated by like playing it on a good PC or on an X. Because there's a Switch version of this coming as well, right? Or was that just the first one?
They haven't said. Yeah, they've the first one is out.
You'd have to imagine it would, though, the way that they're treating these sorts of games on the Switch, like Cuphead and the first one.
Russell's been playing on a PC and has been having the same issues.
Right.
So it's just maybe a little... Okay.
Yeah. I googled it yesterday and they've got a thing on their site saying like, yeah, we're aware and we're working on it. So hopefully before too long there'll be something. But you unlock all the new abilities and stuff. No, I don't have all of them yet, but you do unlock new things at a pretty rapid clip.
Yeah.
And you just get to this great point before too long where you're dashing, you're grappling, like you're able to just stay up in the air, like moving around for so long. Like it's got all that really satisfying, like, all of a sudden being able to get into these new areas and the kind of like open world platformer thing of feeling like it's one big fluid.
Yeah.
You know, there's no levels. It's just one big fluid quest of like, now go over here and find this guy. And yeah, it looks it's awesome. I'm loving it. It's my first like game of the year contender of 2020.
Yes. I don't know if anyone's ever said this before, but it's like if you combine a Metroid game and a Castlevania game.
Well, Castlevania games,
I like guess a Castleoid, you'd call it.
But do you mean like the early Castlevania games, which are the thing that Castlevania sort of invented, which was kind of a linear platforming combat experience? Mm-hmm. Or do you mean Symphony of Night, which just kind of stole from Metroid, in which case you'd call the whole genre a Metroid game?
I've never played any Castlevania games.
It's so weird that Vania gets chucked on
I
the
know,
end of
it.
That.
It shouldn't. A Metroid-esque. Just a Metroid game.
Fucking insane. I hate it.
I often find these Metroid games, Metroid-style games, really confusing. And I'm finding it with this one as well. I don't understand.
He's a great physical comedian. He's like a Kerry Leguizamo type. You don't name it after the follow-up that did the same thing. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Kerry Guizamo.
Yeah.
It's a Kerry Guizamo type actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had to Google John Leguizamo because I forgot his name.
What is the Pest?
The Pest
is the movie. Yeah.
You do. Yeah, I get lost pretty regularly in this style of game too. That I'm trying to remember what game it was. Was it Hollow Knight that had the thing where the map would just come up if you held down the left trigger, and it would just kind of come up over.
Oh, like an overlay.
An overlay on the screen.
That's a good question. I can't remember. I don't think
there was something that I played.
Control sort of had a hologram map. It wasn't as quick as that, but
no,
it
wasn't Hollow Knight either for sure. Because you had to go buy those bits of the map from the little bug sitting there, and then I think you went into a separate screen because you put all those little badges and stuff on it.
Okay.
Maybe there was a second like outline map.
An option of just being able to very quickly just like hold a button and it would come up with
right.
a very like very basic kind of overlay. Because quite often...
You know what the opposite of that would be? Is having the game freeze every time you open and close the map, which is what happens.
Are you talking like locks, like crashes?
No.
No, just like just 1 second.
Right.
Yeah.
Just even having to check, like, you know, these games, if you haven't been to that part of the map, it'll be, you know, it'll just show an
the
empty
fog
space
of war.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of doing that thing of, oh, okay, I've got a fork in the road. Have I been up there yet? Maybe I'll check up there. Pause, go into the map screen. Oh, okay. No, there is a bit around here that I haven't gone to. Okay.
Right.
And then you walk over for a bit and you're like, oh, am I there at that bit yet? Like that is like having to do that, like pause and like a couple seconds and then a couple seconds out. It just gets a little tedious.
And it sounds like this is really like a platforming and exploration based one of these rather than like Hollow Knight was a lot more about the combat. And is this a lot more about the platforming and the jumping and the finding your way about the place?
It's pretty similar to Hollow Knight.
Cool.
It is, yeah. I felt like Hollow Knight had a fair bit of exploration.
A bit. I feel like the combat was a lot more of a focus for it, though, especially with the bosses that were like pretty hard at times.
I did a boss. I did an early, like I guess the first boss that took me a couple goes to figure out in this. It seems like that is going to become more and more.
Straight up this type of game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like there are boss battles that are pretty difficult. It's like, you know, and they're classic boss battles of like, okay, that's the pattern. And then you just sort of figure it out. You hone whatever move you've just learned and then you get past them. I'm like 4 or 5 hours in, done a couple of bosses. I think my thing is more like not intuitively knowing how these games work. So it's like I'll get to a bit I can't get past. And it's like, okay, do I just keep trying this for like 20 minutes or am I supposed to backtrack, get a new move, go somewhere else? Like
forever. If it's the least bit difficult to get past, always leave.
Yeah.
That's my advice with life and with these games.
Typically open the map, look for a bit where you haven't been in yet. And then a lot of times the answer's up there.
And if there's like a weirdly high wall, try and remember where that is because you'll get a double jump at some point.
Yeah,
or if there's like some strange fucking pink crystal, there'll be a grappling hook that goes under there.
I'm currently stuck at the pink crystal bit.
Is there really
literally.
A pink crystal?
Yep.
Yeah. These games are all the same.
Yeah. Because like you buy your pieces of map off maybe a bug or a weird creature in this as well. Like it's very similar it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, can't recommend it enough. Yeah, really, really having a good time with it.
It reminds me of like old school games where it's like a real like pick it up, smash it out, get stuck, put it down for half a day, go back, and like all of a sudden, oh, I figured this out now.
Nice.
My brain was working it out in the meantime.
Yeah.
Like, real classic platformer
and
game.
Just a platformer, like one of the few platformers I can think of that's really taking advantage of being on like a big TV.
Mm.
Like there's bits where it kind of has to pan out a bit, and so you're quite small on the screen, but all of the screen space is being filled up with game level and it all looks beautiful. Just like a very thoroughly modern platformer that's, you know, rather than just being like, oh yeah, here's a ledge. It's like, no, this is, most people are playing this on a big TV.
Yeah.
So let's really fill the space.
That's cool.
Yeah. What about you? You've been, Adam, you've been...
I haven't really been playing anything this whole week. I've been fucking refreshing Twitter feeds and shit a lot
yep.
of it, and checking emails. But I have been building a project.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it at that for now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm getting related, real close.
It's related to the Infinity Game Machine, right?
It is that.
Well, we've talked about that like five times.
Well, I can't remember because I've been looking at lists of fucking ISO files and shit, all of which I legitimately own.
I believe you at one point said you were going to give constant updates on it.
Well, I've changed that because...
You've gone into the lab, you've shut down for a while.
Well, I got this thing called Launchbox,
okay.
which is like it's a front-end thing for emulating games that puts them all there in a nice little list with all the box art it automatically downloads for you.
Right. Love that.
It looks real slick and it's not that expensive to get like a license for it. It's just this one dude making it, I think.
Right.
And you can get it for free. Or there's like a license and you get some extra stuff, like a big box mode it's called, where it has little videos of playing. It looks like a nice little... menu system.
Right. This is your catalog.
Exactly.
Nice.
And you jam them all in there.
Woo.
You find a place to download only the ones that you own. And I happen to own about 24,000. Yeah.
Excellent.
And then you can plug any emulator that exists into this thing, basically, and it'll kind of launch it for you. And you have to fuck around with it all the time.
Right.
It doesn't take all of the pain out of it at all. It's not even close, but nothing ever will.
Yeah.
Nothing takes away the pain. Well, you just have to suffer through it. But then when you do, yeah, you get to
play Jazz Jackrabbit. Yeah.
I actually haven't set up any PC games already yet. Right. It's all the older.
So
did you know, for example, so RetroArch, have you heard of that?
Yes,
it's
I've
like
heard
the big emulator thing that tries to combine as many different emulators into the one easy package.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go too far down a rabbit hole, a jackrabbit hole, you might even call it, it's not good enough for emulating the 3DO. Or the Atari Jaguar. Now, you might be thinking...
Who gives a fuck?
Hey, Adam.
How anal and perfectionist would you have to be to really get stressed about two old gaming systems?
That's what I'm thinking.
Who would ever take the time to set up an ability to play a game from a system that you never had any connection to early on, that you don't have any interest in now, and that doesn't seem to have any games for it that are worth spending time on? How much time could one person possibly invest into downloading a Russian emulator that is not in English, finding a translation that is in English, thankfully, and then
learning to speak English?
So, yeah, whatever. I guess Russia has all my credit card details now, but...
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Wow.
I can play the 3DO version of Night Trap if I want to.
Oh, fuck nice. Yeah.
I actively don't.
Yeah.
But I can.
It's an option.
Yeah. I can play Alien versus Predator on the Atari Jaguar. You know whoever did at the time? About 40 people. When it was modern and current.
So is the catalog, do you have like a number next to each game?
No. Nah.
Okay, that's going to make the next level of this project a little more difficult.
No, because I can plug them all into an Excel spreadsheet and then pick a random cell out of that. I've already thought about it.
Yeah, great. That's incredible. Good. That's good.
Because if you were to set
true
up...
True psychopath.
To set up some sort of... Also, when you see it, when you see the layout of it, the color of the background, that's bone. The type there, that's called... I can't remember what he says in that thing. I'm being...
Patrick...
Yeah,
nice raincoat, by the way.
Thank you.
Did you know that the 3DO version of Night Trap came out in 1984? It wasn't as good as the Sega CD Night Trap, which I thought was a lot more of an accessible work. I'm dancing around while I'm saying it. But anyway.
And he's watching himself as he's dancing.
Our Patreon episode's a review of the restaurant Dorsia. We got a table.
Anyway, I'm setting it up for a reason because we're going to do a thing with it.
It's a fun idea.
But also, it is scratching some sort of fucking OCD itch that I have there.
Yep.
To have access to this shit that I do not need.
Yes.
But I guess this is my version of fucking toilet paper
I was about to say, 100% is.
Yeah. Maybe. But electricity...
You don't need this many consoles, okay? Don't be hysterical. My parents
need... Think about
the
pensioners who are going to buy a 3DO
If
today.
They want a 3DO, they could get there at 6 a.m. when they're open just for them to get a 3DO. Electricity is the first thing to go in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this is useless.
Yeah.
Unless I get a generator to give away my location.
Uh-oh.
With a big engine. That's the problem with generators in the apocalypse. People don't think
people
about that.
People know where you are, yeah.
But it's pretty cool. Not every system can be emulated, so some of them I still have old consoles and I'm like, some of them already have chips in them and shit.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to be able to play literally any game that anyone mentions. I want to be able to do it.
Like, you ever play that this game? I got it off a cousin. He was in like China for a week in the 90s and I can play that.
Hugo's Adventure 3? Yeah, let's play it now.
Yeah.
What? Fuck no. What? What are you
Marble
talking about?
Marble Madness?
It's not correctly emulated.
Play all those Brazilian Master System games that are still coming out.
I could do. So far in the thing, I don't have... I've chosen not to put in a whole bunch of Japanese games.
Yep.
That I can't read Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that sort of stuff. So things that
That's the next step. Doing night school.
It literally will be that like, fuck, this game only came out in Spain. Duolingo.com.
Yep.
Learning Spanish. But whatever. It's
Air
just
Tasker. I need someone.
What does that mean?
Just Air Tasker. I need someone to come around and sit next to me and whisper in my ear what's coming up on the screen.
Fuck. Yes.
Live translation is not that bad of an idea.
Yeah.
It's a way of doing it. But you need to be on call at all times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's distracting me.
Yeah.
In a pleasant way.
Well,
and also it's kind of fun to have something that doesn't work yet and then to build it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I completely relate to that.
I could be doing it with a water purifier, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Yeah. It's a bit like what your girlfriend's doing with you, a real fixer upper.
Exactly. I am the human equivalent of a Russian 3DO emulator. It's just a fucking nightmare to get working. But when it does, you're not even sure you wanted it anyway.
What's the point?
Speaking of inscrutable computers.
Yeah, I've been playing some games.
No, I meant the game you've been playing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was going to talk about a different one first.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys played this game. It's been out for ages. Super Hot.
Oh, yeah.
I've gone in on the Game Pass. The opposite of your Infinity Games machine. Just pure, easy. Just hit the download button and they're there right for you.
But they disappear at some point. My ones... I can't even get them working in the first place.
Yes.
But they're technically there.
Technically, you have the access to them.
This would be a plot on Seinfeld if it was still on. This would be something Kramer was doing.
Yes. Building the Infinity Machine.
Yeah, building the Infinity
Gamer.
Machine.
Cosmo Gamer.
Jerry would be asking him like...
That's maybe a tweet.
Do you play any of these? He'd be like, it's not about that, Jerry. It's not about if I do, it's about if I can, Jerry. But then at the end, George would be like, can we play Pac-Man? And Kramer would realize he didn't have Pac-Man and he'd go insane and he'd eat all of his machines.
He'd eat
the machines.
I don't
think he'd eat them, but you know what I mean. He'd chew through the wires like he was Pac-Man.
Is what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
He'd get stuck in there and the whole place would look like a maze with Pac-Man.
This would be one of the later seasons after Larry David left.
Exactly.
Do stuff where it's like,
it'd be really weird.
Jerry's dating a girl and he finds out she plays games with mouse look inverted. And he's like, I can't do it.
She's an inverter.
Mouse look. She's an inverter.
Oh, this is good. Game of Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
You could do a whole season of these.
Fuck, maybe that should be our project for the quarantine.
Yep. George won't.
Seinfeld 64.
George won't lend his Switch to his girlfriend.
George, he keeps saying that he beat some really hard game. He beat Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah.
Except he was using save states.
It's like,
what? That's fine. I'm allowed to use save states. Mm-hmm. They're there for a reason.
Okay, well, that's something we'll discuss.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone calls Elaine a gamer girl and she like spends the whole episode trying to get revenge on him.
Oh, yeah.
Elaine starts streaming and gets a whole bunch of negative comments as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Elaine would be on Twitch. It'd be Elaine dating someone off Twitch.
Yeah. Putty's on Twitch and he's way more successful than her.
Yes! She's like...
But he doesn't even talk. She's like doing all this commentary. But Putty's sitting there and he's like, huh. Mario's red.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a whole new world we've opened up.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing Superhot and it's really fun. I don't know why I never went in on it in the first place. It's a really enjoyable, like, puzzle first person shooter. I've been loving it. The great interface, that great sort of retro, like, DOS menu screen and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got. I've come across a lot of like the weird framing device stuff yet.
Right. Like you're kind of in the simulation or that sort of thing.
Yeah. I've only like had, I think, one instance of that. But that's been really, really fun. I'm enjoying it. If you got Game Pass and you never went in on it, give it a go.
Yeah. If you never played it, it's like you time only moves when you are moving.
Yes.
And it's like a combat situation matrix style where a bullet's coming at you.
Yeah.
You can grab guns out of the air. And so you're doing like a stylish...
Like combat. A John Woo movie. Everything's like very like pixel or like, you know, like simple polygon stuff.
Yeah.
All the enemies are red. All the environments are just white.
So early 90s VR kind of look.
Yeah.
Like Lawnmower Man, I think.
Yeah. Hackers or something like that. Right. Yeah. But very fun. Just like one of those games where someone's come up with the concept and it's like, great, that's the game.
Yeah.
It's a game in one sentence, but it's really, really well executed. I'm having fun with it. The game you were referencing, Nox, The Turing Test, is really fun. I think over halfway through it. So this, I think I described it sort of briefly a couple of weeks ago now. It's a first-person puzzle game, very similar in presentation to Portal, in that it's an AI talking to you, guiding you through a series of puzzles.
Right.
But the framing of this is you're like on a ship orbiting Europa.
Oh, yeah.
And all of your crew is like...
That's where Germania is. Spainer, Francer.
Yeah, they're currently...
The comedy festival is back on!
Everyone in this apartment building is home currently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Trying to buy tickets to Tim Minchin.
So I think you start in like the ship and there's like a space station.
Mm.
So you're separated from the whole crew. Something's like, oh, hey, like there's been an issue. There's been like a crash or like some shit. Something's happened. You've got to go back to the space station and like see what's going on.
Right.
So you're by yourself. This AI is talking you through it. And you get there and you're like, oh, what's going on? Where is all the crew? And the AI is like, oh, they're very deep in the base. Very deep, hidden deep in the base.
Mm.
To get to them, you have to go through these tests, which I can't remember if it's like the point of the mission or it's just like, you know, happening part of it. But it's basically a Turing test. So only a human would be able to make their way through these like physical puzzle-based tests.
Right.
No AI could do it because they keep saying like, the AI keeps saying like, oh, an AI can't think creatively, which I have an issue with, but I don't know if that's like him lying or whatever.
Right.
And you know, for most of the game so far, it's been like your friend, clearly. This AI is trying to help you find the crew.
Mm.
And yeah, much like a Portal or something like that, slowly it's being revealed. Hey, maybe the AI is involved with what went wrong. Maybe.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah, right.
Only a human would be able to come up with that twist.
And as an AI, do you find the representation in this to be somewhat offensive?
I find it very realistic. You know, like they can simulate creativity, but they're actually just, you know, using other people's ideas.
An isometric hack and slash game.
It's a Souls-esque Metroidvania. But as tropey and as sort of done that story is, the sort of rogue AI, it's still done pretty creepily and well. The puzzles are really, really fun to do. Very, very satisfying. It's a lot of like, okay, this module is sort of like a key for a lock. You can pick it up and move it around. It opens that door and it opens that door. But when that door's open, this other door is closed. And sort of these sort of like, it's all basically that like riddle of like getting the fox, the chicken and the,
right,
and the corn across the river. It's basically that over and over again of like, oh, okay, but actually this one is a moving platform, and if I move the platform over there with this key on it, then I can get it to where it needs to be, but I can't move, you know. It's a lot of coordinating these different like locks and keys and moving platforms and doors and things like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's really, really well done. Very satisfying. It's much smarter than the story that's put over it.
Right.
And it is, it's comparable with the Portal, which was like really, really well done first person puzzle gaming.
It's on Game Pass as well. That's where you're playing.
It is. Cool. Yeah.
I was just, I was distracted because I was looking at an email canceling a whole bunch of work. So, maybe I'll fucking play it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a go.
Maybe you should start Twitch streaming it. And yeah. But no, I'm really, really enjoying it. I don't often get into these kind of games. There's heaps of them out there. There's a lot of these sort of first-person puzzle games. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are like set on spaceships as well.
Yep.
But I love Portal 1 and 2, and this is sort of like, you know, slightly less good sequel almost. Like it has the same feel and everything. So
cool.
I highly recommend it if any of that even slightly sounded interesting, because the real version is better than my description, I'm cool. sure. But yeah, the Turing test. Really,
nice.
Really good. Really fun game.
I reckon we can wrap it up here for another week.
Yeah.
What do you say, fellas? We'll be back next week. We have a couple of big releases to talk about, so it'll be fun. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our social stuff. Keep an eye on that social stuff for an announcement about a Bandcamp thing that we're planning to do in the next little while.
Yeah.
Get onto the Patreon and you can get an extra episode every week.
And probably some more stuff soon as well.
Yeah, we'll be chucking some extra stuff up to keep everyone occupied.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening. Stay safe out there. Mm. Take care of each other. Be cool. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
the Melbourne International Comedy Festival is officially back on. Congratulations, yes. Everybody. This is an official release.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.